say that three is a crowd, but I think the worry for many investors is that more than three is a stampede. The yield on the benchmark 10-year U.S. government treasury broke decisively above that 3% last week, and that was for the first time since 2011. We had seen it poke its head above in April, but it's really stayed there now, and it's all markets can talk about at the moment. I've got Rob Tarwell, portfolio manager at Sasson Wealth, in the market hot seat. Rob, good to see you again.
Thank you, Michael.
Let's just leave that 3% discussion for a little while and talk about the Rand's recent slide. And thankfully, nothing like the Turkish lira and what we saw happen to that emerging market currency today. But with the land debate, we've got the S&P ratings decision about, and obviously that 3% number. What's primarily behind the recent bout of weakness that we've seen?
Well, I think emerging markets in general, currencies have been weak, with strengthening dollar. So we're definitely part of that. And then we do have one or two internal issues that we all know about. We've got an increase in fuel price that's coming through, and we've laden that fuel levy with taxes. So people are worried a little bit about inflation, even though the last count was very low at 3.8% on the CPI. But it's definitely built into that fuel levy, as well as the VAT increase. So we have got a few bit of worries about that. And then, you know, the foreigners are, you know, they can take that carry trade off. You know, if they feel that the yield in the States is enough to garner them some type of support risk-free, they'll take some of that money out. So I don't think people are 100% confident yet that that 3% yield and above is going to stay there. But we have seen some money flow out of all emerging markets and come back into the States, at least initially. So you can see how quickly it moves these currencies. So our currency's been weak, although today starting very weak at about 1290 nearly hit. I think 1288 was the weak.
Yep.
Weak level against the dollar, and we came all the way back to about 1274 before I left. So definitely showing some strength back in the rand at the end of the day today.
And I think context is important there, because we have seen generally emerging market currency weakness on the back of this dollar strength. So that seems to be a positive breakaway. Locally, it was all about the ANC's land summit. And I read through a few articles over the weekend. And you know what really encouraged me is the dialogue this time around appears far more constructive than not. Obviously, the tribal land issue, I think, is still very, very tricky. But the articles that, Stephen Curtis wrote a very good article about the tone of President Ramaphosa's approach and the fact that there was a nod to the past, but really it was all about using land reform to grow the economy and not to make future cracks in the economy by trying to repair past cracks, which is very positive.
Yes, it's a new narrative. He's always said that they don't want to have land grabs from the start, but no one really knew how he was going to put that through, and we see a new narrative coming through now. One of them is that there's a lot of state land, and they're quite happy to be able to give that land to people to use, whereas before governments didn't really say much about state land. It was always mentioned, yes, we've got a lot of it, but you know, we want to take land from generally the general public first. So this is quite new, so they want to use state land initially, and the state really owns massive amounts of land. So is it all in the right place? Not necessarily. But there is a lot of land available for state. And I think that narrative that to say, you know, we're going to give land, but then you must also use the land and build, you know, wealth and use it for yourself is a new narrative, not to say we'll just give you the land and just, you know, let be and anyone can use it. There's going to be certain ways to build on it, how to build on it, how to use it.
Absolutely. That self-help element is critical here, because government has almost backed itself into a cul-de-sac over the last 20 years by presenting itself as the ultimate savior for the masses of South Africans. The government will come and do everything for you, whereas now the tone of the conversation seems to be very much about partnering still, but giving people title deed and then saying, well, these are the guidelines, but go and do with what you will the land. Build your house, build your little enterprise, and we'll support you as much as we can.
Yes,
which is a welcome
empowering plan. Empowering the person with the land, rather than just say, here it is, and see what you can do with it. This is more empowering. It's got, you know, a strategy behind it. And you know, if implemented correctly, it could make a huge difference. I think, you know, we've got the mining charter, which is now, you know, we're waiting for again. We've got the land issue. If we get positive outcomes on both of those, you know, we'll see a lot of foreign direct investment come back into South Africa, and you know, a lot of people want South Africa to do well internationally. And if we get these two really big issues, you know, behind us, you know, this is very positive for South Africa going forward.
Yeah, at a time, let's forget about what goes on Twitter, and there seems to be a lot of vitriol around what goes on in SuperSport studios among certain commentators. But if you park all of that to one side, if we look at some of those key policy and systemic and structural issues, if we can get that right, we also have the Zimbabwe election coming up in, when is it, July. $100 million recently extended as a line of credit by the CDC. A lot of international investors would like to see Zimbabwe reclaim its former glory. So if you put those two potential tailwinds together, then it looks much better for the southern tip of Africa.
Absolutely. And we've got Angola also under reform at the moment. So, you know, if we can get Angola, Zimbabwe, and South Africa to move in one direction, you know, it'll be a massive boon to South Africa.
And that's no nods to boy bands, I'm sure. On the Western Front, things seem to be cooling off, which is a good thing. We saw a joint statement between China and the US suggesting that both parties are going to take on measures to reduce the US trade deficit with China.
Yeah, very positive. You saw the Dow react quite quickly today. I think start of trade today was up 1.25%. So money coming back into equities, that's very positive. Now, Trump seems to be, you know, throwing the worst out at the start, and then slowly giving concessions back. So he's done it a few times now, and it seems to have happened with China as well. But he is getting, you know, the right responses in the end, you know, after his Twitter rampages and
the
et
cetera. The art of the deal, it's working.
Yeah, so he does seem to get one or two things right in the end, in retrospect, when you look backwards. So that's very positive for world economies at the moment, because people have been worried about growth. Europe's been doing very well, but starting to roll over a little bit. The States had one or two bad numbers that came out as well. So this is very positive for world markets, and we could see this flow into the next few months.
Now, we've been looking for some kind of positive catalyst in the market, so hopefully it can be that. But one short seller that's always looking for a negative catalyst is Viceroy, and it's back with Capitec still in its sights. I must say, it's come out with not too much new news here, and the market seems to have shrugged this one off. What's irking Viceroy this time?
So I think they've now sent another letter to the audit committee of Capitec. And they sent this out today to the market. So we've, you know, it came out at the end of business today. So we've taken a look at one or two of the questions that they're questioning the audit committee. And they, by the looks of things, they've sent this to Capitec before they've sent it to the market. So Capitec have already been able to respond to it if they've wanted to. There's nothing really new. It's still a debate about how they manage their long-term debt compared to their short-term debts. And how they're accounting for it. So they say that they're accounting for it wrong using IFRS accounting standards. And obviously Capitec said that they're doing it correctly. You know, Capitec is now, after the first Viceroy report, been looked at by the Reserve Bank. Analysts have re-looked at it. Not that there's no concern whatsoever with Capitec, but most people are happy with the responses from Capitec, and they've looked at it in immense detail. So Viceroy now out today. You know, the banks have been weak for 2 weeks now in South Africa. They've given back a lot of the upside, and maybe they're, you know, weak banks at the moment, good time to put out the report. Nothing new, still questions around just how they manage their loans, and are they telling the market the real truth of how strong or weak their loan book is.
I mean, it's not saying it's going to be the next African bank, but if we were to see a massive rise in rates, for example, it would have a bit of a headache on its hands with large defaults.
Yes, you know, then the bottom of the market on the loan section, and bad debts are always high in that sector of the market. Increase in interest rates, pullback in the economy, it'll have a massive effect on Capitec. They're not a cheap bank at the moment on a PE level and valuation, so they're not cheap. So they'll have a big correction if that happened. But that would be the same with all the banks. You know, we're looking for this green shoot from Ramaphosa to come through. Initially it was, but we've not seen it 100% come through in the economy just yet. So bad debts are something to look at for all the banks. But, you know, I think that we won't get an interest rate rise in the next week. We have a meeting this week, and we'll see if, you know, if we can keep things stable and the Rand doesn't blow out. I think we'll have a stable interest rate for the next few months.
And who knows, we might even have a very bold MPC meeting deliver a rate cut, but I'm not betting on that. I'm with you on that one, Rob. I think rates are going to remain unchanged for now. Pioneer Foods first half results. I was going to chat to you about Barlow World, but I've got the CEO, Dominic Sawella, coming up later on in the show. So as we're running out of time, Pioneer Foods first half HEPS up 30%, really within guidance, and an interim divvy that was maintained as well. So what the market was looking at from Pioneer, really.
Yes, you know, so the food companies like Pioneer often are commodity companies. So it depends where they buy their maize, what price they bought their maize at before they mill it into the market. So a lot of it is a trading company. So, you know, if they get their trading right, maize prices came down compared to when we had the drought. So that helped. So in general, you know, you take a look at the maize price a lot with these companies, even though they are, you know, do have a lot of brands. Really, their core function is as a commodity house and buying the wheat and the maize at the right prices. So they seem to have got a lot more of that right compared to before. They had very bad results after the drought. They had bad buying on their maize sector and their wheat. So that's recovered into their earnings. A fair set of numbers, not spectacular, but the market was happy with the numbers. And going forward, you know, still generate good cash, and it's a nice company to have in your portfolio.
Rob Tarwell, Portfolio Manager at Sasfin, with your Monday Market Roundup here on Classic Business.